Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. That's Christine Ebersole with Billy Stritch performing Hit That Jive Jack from their album Sunday in New York. Christine Ebersole has captivated audiences throughout her performing career, from the Broadway stage to television series and specials, films, concert appearances, and recordings. She's a two-time Tony Award winner for her work in 42nd Street and Grey Gardens. In concert, Ms. Ebersole has appeared in numerous halls throughout the country, and this Sunday she will join Michael Feinstein, Betty Buckley, and the Boston Pops Orchestra in celebrating the Great American Songbook at Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts. It is a pleasure to welcome Christine Ebersole back to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
You're performing with Michael Feinstein, Betty Buckley, and the Boston Pops at Tanglewood on September 2nd. Have you performed at Tanglewood with the Pops before?
I have, yes. I was there a few summers ago with Little Night Music, and I was there before with a program on Bernstein.
So you don't mind performing there?
Mind?
I know.
I'd say it's quite a thrill.
What do you like about it?
Well, I just love the open air, and of course, you know, the Boston Pops. It's just very exciting to be able to sing with a full orchestra behind you and a full audience in front of you. It's pretty thrilling.
And the program is songs from the American Songbook.
Yes.
Why do you think, or just speaking for yourself, those songs are so endlessly enjoyable?
You know, it's a very interesting question, and I think in the final analysis, they're generally about love.
Mm-hmm.
And loss of love, or excitement about love, or anticipation of love, and of course, that's an eternal sort of emotion that we all cling to.
Are the songs that you're performing at Tanglewood selected yet?
Yes.
What are they?
Well, I'm doing the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Oh, great.
I guess that would be about love of trains. Singing a duet with Michael, Embraceable You, and then the trio that I'm doing with Betty Buckley, I'm not sure exactly what that is yet. So that will be revealed.
Great. A surprise for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
How are the songs selected when you put together a program like this with Mr. Feinstein and the Pops? Does everybody get input onto what's selected, and what are the conversations like? What's the process like?
Well, Michael is generally, we kind of take our cues from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael and I have worked together in the past and have done a show together. So we decided on a selection that we had done together and really enjoyed it. And a medley of songs that he put together, Embraceable You. And I think it's generally, that's the way it works. And he said, well, then you want to sing a song on your own. And I just loved Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. So I thought that would be exciting to have with an orchestra.
Earlier this year, you did a show at Cafe Carlyle, The End of the World as We Know It Cabaret.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get to see it. Are you touring that cabaret?
Actually, I'm touring with another show I did the year before called Age Before Beauty. And it's about finding eternal youth.
Tell us more about it.
Well, it's basically what it says in the title. Well, not exactly the title, but it's finding eternal youth, and sort of how we, you know, there's so much emphasis on youth and beauty and in the culture, and how do we cling to what is eternal when all these changes are taking place in our bodies that we can't control.
When you perform a cabaret evening and you have songs from shows, but they are out of the context of the story of their show and placed into the flow of a one-woman show evening, is that tricky to perform, or how do you have to prepare for something like that?
Well, that it's sort of really what that is about, is finding songs that resonate with the theme. So that's how basically I find the songs that relate to what I'm, you know, to the overall theme of what I'm trying to, and then trying to portray and trying to, the message that I'm trying to get across. But there's also sort of little side trips, and because I tell stories about my family and my career and things like that.
You are on a new TBS television comedy series called Sullivan and Son. Tell us about that.
Well, it takes place in a bar in Pittsburgh, and it's basically about a guy who leaves New York City in a very high-paying job as a lawyer, comes back and to run the bar that is family-owned, and find happiness. And I'm one of the bar flies and sort of a boozy cougar who works at the DMV. So I hope I make Pittsburgh proud.
That sounds fun to play. Are you having fun with it?
Oh, my gosh, I'm having a time of my life.
When you take on a role in a television show, how does that come to you? Is it, you know, your agent gives you a call? How do you land the role?
Oh, this kind of happened very suddenly. I got a call from my agent, and I was up for another television show, and sort of was like this collision of events, and I ended up sort of making a choice, and I was offered this role, so I didn't really audition for it, so I was thrilled about that.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got it.
And when that call comes from your agent, you're offered a role, what else goes into your decision to take it on? People you're working with?
Yeah, it has to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a bottom line, I think, and that is, I think, intelligence in writing and funny. That's the bottom line. And I think that the character also, you know, I've done this before where you've played characters where you're basically wearing a bathrobe, flipping pancakes, saying lines like duck guano, you know, and you're thinking, oh, my God, I've made a Faustian bargain. The end of my career as we know it. And, you know, for the promise of riches. But a God in his mercy, you know, would have the show canceled, so I would have to endure it. But I've been lucky that way. But in this case, with Sullivan and Son, I guess I'm at the point in my life and in my career where I'm grateful and blessed to have at this point and in this circumstance been able to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad that I was given a script that I really loved and got excited about the character. Because also to play a person at my age who's still as viable as, you know, in having sexuality, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's generally surgically removed from you when you're 35 in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to be viable that way and still participate in the game of romance is a great thing. And so I was excited about that as well.
That's on TBS on Thursdays.
And Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to go back to something you mentioned a moment ago and not have you retread any specific misstepped projects. But when you accept a role and then you're working on it and you realize that you have made a mistake, when does that hit you and what can you do about it?
I don't know that. Well, I guess there's nothing you can do about it, really, because you're under contract.
Right. Sure.
You just have to see if you know, the universe is kind to you and, you know, has it go away. So I've been really lucky that way. I've been absolutely lucky that way. And I'd say pretty much everything I've done, I've chosen because I believe in it.
Yeah, I would say, you know, from an audience perspective and subjectively, you have a great track record. Everything that I know you from is fantastic.
Mm, thank you. Yeah, I think that's more on the stage. But in television, you know, when there's money involved, sometimes it's harder to be selective.
You are in the upcoming movie, The Big Wedding. Tell us about that.
That's a movie that Justin Zakim wrote with Robert De Niro and Diane Keaton, Susan Sarandon, and Robin Williams, a host of stars. And I play a part of Greenwich, Connecticut social climber, I guess, that had too much plastic surgery. So she's sort of a butt of many jokes. And I'm the mother of the bride. who's played by Amanda Seyfried. And the really exciting part for me is that I ended up writing a song, music and lyrics, for the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I'm performing in it. I performed it on film, but it's going to be played in the end credits.
Oh, great.
So I'm excited about that. It's called Gently Down the Stream.
How often do you write original music?
Never.
Oh. Well, or once.
Yes, once.
How did that get worked into the movie? What made you
want to do it? Well, Justin Sackham knew I was a singer and asked me if I wanted to sing in the movie, and I told him I did. Are you kidding? It was like so thrilling, uh-huh, the prospect. And so I ended up writing the song to just kind of sum up what the movie was about.
Mm-hmm.
The original title of the movie was called Gently Down the Stream. And then Lionsgate, when they took it on, decided to change the title.
Okay.
And so it's basically about paddling through life together. So I had the idea of taking the public domain song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat Gently Down the Stream, Merrily, 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 Life is But a Dream. So that's that little phrase that I took and then built around that, with a verse and the bridge and all that.
Christine Ebersole, thank you very much for your time and have a fantastic performance at Tanglewood.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Christine Ebersole joins Michael Feinstein, Betty Buckley, and the Boston Pops Orchestra at Tanglewood this Sunday at 2:30 p.m. The concert will feature songs from the Great American Songbook. To learn more, visit tanglewood.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.